So to get to the sun from Earth, let's call it 8 minutes. I think that might be right. So speed of light to the sun, 8 minutes. I think to Jupiter or something, I think I'm actually right on this. I think it's 33 minutes if you're traveling at the speed of light.
Okay.
So 33 minutes to get to Jupiter. I think to leave the Milky Way galaxy, it's something like 100,000 years.
Okay.
Might be wrong.
Wait, well, where are we going with this? Yeah, let's.
I don't know. I don't.
Yeah.
You were talking about foot speed, and then I started thinking about speed of light.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
Hello, Robert. What you got there? That doesn't look like coffee.
No, it's not. It's better. It's 5 calories. It has the same. It has more caffeine than a coffee. I'm just kind of. I say I'm sick of it. I had one yesterday, but I'm kind of over milk. You know, it's. Even the thought of like having a coffee with like oat milk in it like this morning just sounds gross. Like this is nice, it's refreshing, it has caffeine, it does the trick. I think Starbucks gets it. They know people are over coffee, they're over all of these milk alternatives. The true milk alternative is this.
You didn't say what it was.
Because I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, all that milk knocking, I had about 16 ounces of whole milk last night and about 7 cookies.
Like, so, just you'll just drink glasses of milk.
Absolutely.
Oh wow. Absolutely. Okay.
No, I'm a milk guy. Whole. It must be whole.
Wow.
Full fat milk. I'm all about it. I try to keep it reasonable, but if I had my choice, I would have a glass of milk every single day.
Wow.
And I could eat it with cookies. I could eat it with spaghetti. I could drink it with with any form. I mean, I'm talking Mexican food, Italian food, does not matter. I can drink milk at any moment.
This is, I don't know how I think your milk intake probably gets overshadowed by Colin. I think that's the issue.
It does.
That
yeah.
You aren't known for it, but it sounds like you're just as into it.
Yeah. Colin Jones is the true milk monster at about 2 gallons of whole milk per week. And I think that's actually accurate. 2 gallons of whole milk per week. Yes. So
and that's what you'd like to be at. That's what you aspire to.
I don't know. That seems a little excessive, but I would
say. You just said you drink it with spaghetti or Mexican.
Yeah,
food.
But like.
That seems excessive.
The thing is I don't actually do that, but I could. But
oh,
I could
see, I see.
Is
like
what I'm saying.
Like the mix of flavors wouldn't mess you up. Or
wouldn't
the
bother me for half a piece a second. So,
okay.
And apparently humans are the only animal being whatever on Earth that drink and other animals' milk.
Yeah. Do you think
so there's a fun fact for you?
Yeah, but do you think we should?
Maybe if no one else is doing it, we shouldn't. So, I mean, that's very possible. Robert, I have something to ask you here.
Okay.
I was, of course, deep in the Twitter streets getting ready for this pod, as that's about the only prep work I do.
Yeah.
And I just came across a number, and the number was $15 million. I don't know what it is. I don't know who's putting that money up. I don't know if it's guaranteed, but that seems like a lot of money for international pickleball. And I was wondering if you have any insights or thoughts about what you've seen, I'm sure, as you were always deep on the Twitter streets.
Yeah, but I don't know a ton about this. Obviously, they had an event. The Dink was over there. A bunch of organizations were over there. Prawn from Pickleball United, from Pickleball World Rankings, I believe it is. Pickleball World Series. He's owning the world. Yeah, there's they're going to put on a bunch of tournaments. The first one's going to be a $1.5 million purse, which, you know, sign me up, baby. And they did something in Dubai. I mean, it's going global, and $15 million committed, I think it's over next year, I'm not entirely sure, is not nothing, but it's kind of nothing. For the, I did see the investment group leading it. I think it's the Times Now, maybe. It's a Indian publishing media conglomerate that's been around since the 1800s that owns a lot of stuff. And 15 million is probably just like, yeah, we'll toss in a few bucks for this little pickleball wiffle ball thing. So,
I mean, catch it early. I mean, so this is okay. So this has nothing to do with like Saudi money, because I know that they have been very much in the sports game, with LIV Golf and a variety of other things. So this is a completely separate thing, of Indian origin.
Well, who knows?
Who knows? And where they were for this was it UAE? This is where it was all happening. Because I know, like, I saw like Megan Fudge went, and like you mentioned, some of the entities of the Dink or whatever that was over there. So seems pretty wild. But this, I mean, pickleball is the Wild West, and it is young. So here we are, man. What a number, though. What a number.
They thought the tour wars were done.
They thought the tour wars were done. Yeah, I saw something like that. It was old Maggie Remenzi, who likes to jump in there and throw out a few tweets, and she mentioned something about the tour wars and how can't we all just get along and grow the sport of pickleball? And I was like, that's just not realistic, and she knows that too. But it would be nice. But man. Like I said, what a number. Wild times, if this is true. Maybe they pay out 96 deep. I might jump in there, you know? just saying. But yeah, that's crazy stuff. I can't wait to get a little more info on it.
Yeah, it's and if this is happening next year, it's got to come together quick. So exciting stuff certly for players. I'll wonder if it's just the pro piece or if they're doing the amateur side of stuff as well. It feels like it's just the pro piece, but who knows? And yeah, Saudi money, who knows about that as well? I mean, I saw that the Saudi prince, MBS, he was in attendance with Prawn. So, I mean, that was pretty wild to see. You know, 15 million's basically like a week's paycheck for Bryson DeChambeau on LIV. So yeah, I wouldn't.
Right.
They need to throw a few more dollars, maybe. I mean, they don't seem to mind losing money on all those guys. So
I think I need to have an IPA with old Prawn. Mm-hmm. He sounds like a guy. That'd be quite an experience. He's
doing
just
a lot of stuff.
He's just in there, and also, scrolling through, I saw PPA announcing an official stop in Melbourne, Mumbai, and Toronto for their international. So we are getting going with the international stuff. And I mean, let's go, you know, I mean, already popping in the US, growing everywhere else, just incredible infrastructure and possible amounts of players in India and Asia. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, with the international stuff, I think what we're going to see when they're throwing numbers out like that, and as details crystallize and as purses crystallize and what you have to place and do people get guaranteed money for making the draw, yada, yada, yada. It will be interesting to see, like, we're going to have a whole new wave of talent coming out of the woodwork globally. People are going to start playing, training, you know, country federations are going to start getting into it and getting players going. It feels like that wave is coming and it's not slowing down. I mean, in the US, it's more about getting established as a high school varsity sport, as a junior sport, and that kind of the funnel coming from the youth, which I think that's kind of the next step in the US. But we have two different things going on, right? It's like we have that pro side, which is going to drive a lot of participation at the top level internationally. But then there's going to be, I mean, if that money continues, you're going to have a lot of kids coming into the sport.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they throw out this wild number or something for a more established sport. It's like, whatever, you know, that's great. Those guys are going to get some money. But this is a sport where you can still be in the mix. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you're playing whatever, a way more established sport, you have no shot. You're just reading the article and possibly viewing. But if you have a certain skill set or possibly a certain background in another racket paddle sport, you could get a piece of this pie. And I think that, like, hope and just the infancy of the sport is going to bring out a lot of players and another wave and another wave and another wave until it's that hope is crushed and we're not even close to that situation yet.
If you're ranked 50 in the world in table tennis or badminton or something like that, why would you not? I mean, yeah. Are those players making more? Like, what are they making on an annual basis, do you think?
I have no idea. I would imagine the top are doing just fine. But yeah, similar to tennis, it thins out pretty quickly. So, yeah. I mean, the talent gap from whatever 10th badminton player to 100th or same thing in table tennis, I know it's just incredibly popular over in Asia, but I have to imagine it's not crazy off from tennis. So it dips pretty quickly in terms of the amount of money you're making annually. So
I mean, even tennis, it falls off a cliff at like, yeah, you know, 110, 120, whatever it is. Like if you're making, you know, main draws of majors, if you're not getting into the majors, it's a struggle.
It's a grind. Yeah. So yeah. Come on over. Now that I'm not playing anymore, the more the merrier. Shoot. Maybe I'll go over there and, you know, double my commentary salary for one event over in India. That would be pretty nice. But yeah, just wild times. Can't wait for more information on this. I'm sure it's going to start trickling in as that was really the first time I had heard anything of it, like yesterday. So I mean, just fantastic. I don't know how it can't be fantastic when the sport we love is getting an injection of that kind of money and that kind of prize pool.
It just feels like that number keeps moving, too. I do remember at some point somebody said, like, six events on six continents. Maybe that's still the case. But I heard $9 million in prize money. And now it's 15. Let's keep that bumping. Let's keep it going, guys.
Throw some more at it. Throw some more at it. I mean, it's like us throwing $150 at it. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're talking about net worths and like what you could come up with, you know, they're just tossing a little money at it, you know, no big deal.
Yeah. Well, I'm going over to India later in August, so I'll find out some more information. Maybe I'll have that IPA with Prawn.
Yeah,
all the deets.
You do that.
Get all the deets.
And tell him I'm not far behind. I'd like to be there as well.
Yep. Adam's doing shadow dinks in his basement right now. He's ready.
God, seriously, dude. I mean, really, man. I'm about to get on the rower and the bike. Let's go, man. yeah, just wild stuff. We had some pretty fun pickleball this past weekend. Were you able to watch any of it? MLP Salt Lake City?
I was. You know why I watched Adam? Because it was indoors. What? And I knew exactly what time it would be on. I knew there would be no interruptions due to rain. So, yeah, it was beautiful.
And it even rained a couple times. Those pop-up thunderstorms coming over the mountains. Did not have to worry about that at the Pickler facility. Even your boy got a little rec play in and didn't almost die as it was about 98 degrees outside. So it was lovely. It was lovely. Pretty good action.
Pretty low humidity.
Utah, they like their pickle. They like their sports.
Yes, they do.
Utah is a big fan of Utah. And so the fans came out. The energy was good. It was a little slow buildup like it always is. Thursday was a little lower key. And actually Sunday, a little lower key, just kind of given, you know, some religious implications, especially for the morning matches. But Friday and Saturday was pretty ridiculous, man. The eruptions on grandstand and championship court were pretty awesome. And of course, just probably not talked about enough aspect of indoor play is you get quite a vibe The noise in there, it's very real, and it's very energizing when you're kind of in that closed off situation for a facility. So it was great. Really enjoyed the weekend. Had fun watching matches, and of course, did a good bit of coaching for the SoCal Hard Eight. So tons of fun in Salt Lake.
And you guys had a good weekend, huh? This is we talked about it last week of how important this weekend was for the team.
Yeah. So it turns out, Robert, with the given format, if you play three matches, the most points that you can accrue is 9 points. Robert, we got 9 points from this weekend, and we played a couple pretty dang good teams. So I'm thrilled with the squad right now.
That's that's a big weekend. You guys went in, took care of business. And what I'm assuming you're attributing the success to mixed. What was different?
Well, one, Yana Newell, complete stud, just really played great for us. And we have a little strategy, and we've been working through some stuff for Eric Lang, who is a very tall individual, but he's a bit of an elder statesman. So we're just kind of finding a happy middle place for him to affect the game as much as possible without overextending.
Yeah.
And so I think we really have a nice strategy in place for his overall game style and mixed. And of course, being paired with a partner that he's comfortable with, and she is comfortable with him, and Yana Newell really helped. Yeah. And also, veteran Irina Tereshchenko, game has really been growing every single event. She had a bit of time off leading up to that initial Atlanta event, and possibly a bit rust. I don't know. We didn't get too far into it, but she is playing better. And of course, Purple Jesus, a little fresh on the scene, Max Manthau. Actually, an odd kind of progression for him, as he was initially more comfortable with gender doubles, which is usually the second thing to come along for a male player. And now he is kind of finding his footing on how aggressive to be, shot selection patterns, all that kind of stuff in mixed doubles. So, as I mentioned before, very happy with the squad and the results.
Yeah, he should be very aggressive, I think, right?
Yeah. No, for sure. He's quick as heck.
He's
you know,
so
short
fast,
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, probably about my height, maybe an inch taller.
Can get back and cover behind him.
Yeah, so if I have high-end elite foot speed, what would we call his?
Whew. I mean,
ponder
you
that.
You stumped me on if I have... It's not where I thought. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Just
I don't
raw
know.
Explosive athleticism. We got to come up
some,
with.
I heard
better than that.
Wild science stats. Call it.
Oh, here we go.
About the speed of light. And I don't remember exactly. Like, I'm gonna butcher it completely, but it was like I'm gonna absolutely butcher it. Not so to get to the sun. From Earth, let's call it. I'm just going to be making numbers.
Oh God!
Let's call it 8 minutes. I think that might be right. So, speed of light to the sun, 8 minutes. I think to Jupiter or something. I think I'm actually right on this. I think it's 33 minutes if you're traveling at the speed of light.
Okay.
So 33 minutes to get to Jupiter. I think to leave the Milky Way galaxy, it's something like 100,000 years.
Okay.
That
okay.
might be wrong. But it's, okay. it's like okay, so speed of light to like our the planets in our solar system, not very far to
get
to.
There.
But to I believe to leave the Milky Way galaxy, our own galaxy, it's a long, long, long time. And it just surprises you, right? Because you're like, oh, the galaxy's that big, and you just
Wait, like where are we going with this? Yeah,
I don't know. I don't.
Yeah.
You were talking about foot speed, and then I started thinking about speed of light, and so yes, if just let's continue.
God,
next.
Just scrap it.
Speed of light. I don't know if you know this, but I haven't checked a bag since probably 2005. So I'm going on 20 years of no check bags. I only carry on. And what's made that really easy for me over the past couple years are Selkirk backpacks. Because little do people know, you get a personal item to carry on most carriers. And both items are big backpacks. I carry them on. I fill both of them to the brim. And they both count as carry on. So I don't have to check a bag. It's important.
No, I'm right there with you. And that's the big boy. And I am past my playing days. So I do one big boy and one little smaller fella here that I can take with me from the hotel to the venue every single day. Leave the big boy there. Don't check bags. Get yourself some Selkirk gear. Small, medium, big, you need it.
I don't have the small. I need the small. Somebody send me the small. But yeah, you're right, because I can put my little laptop and I don't have to take the big one. It's important. Selkirk, send me a small. I'll buy it.
I have a question for you. So there is a player for the Las Vegas Night Owls who is very animated on court. His name is Mo Alhouni.
Yes.
And he has been ruffling some feathers a bit with some of his on-court antics. He is a very fiery player, very good player, and continuing to get better. Actually seems like a very nice guy off court. Had some very brief conversations with him, but seems he seems to talk well. He seems to be personable. He seems to be that guy off court. But on court, there's some poking and some prodding. There's some looking over at his opponents. There's some looking over at his opponent's bench, and some things that he does on court that several players are not thrilled about. So what is your opinion of a player who gets under your skin on court but seems to be a very nice guy off court? Are those things totally connected? Are they totally separate? What are your thoughts on that particular situation?
What do you mean? Like on how, on like my,
like just how you view him, or just like, how, like,
yeah,
like, can you completely separate those two and be boys off court, or does what happens in the heat of competition leak over to how you view somebody off court?
I think context matters. I think it depends on the relationship ahead of time, right? Like if I've never talked to this guy and then he's just being a complete on court, then I'm going to think he's a complete off court. So, but if I go into it and, you know, I know that's coming and like we've chatted before and it's all good and it's just like, you know, trash talk on court, love it. It's fine. And
okay.
Yeah. So like, you know, if I'm playing Matt Wright, let's like, I want to chirp the whole time. It's fun. Brandon French, same thing. Fun. But there would be no issue off court.
Okay, perfect. No, that's the answer I was looking for. Because it was pretty funny to watch him play Jill Braverman.
And do they have any rapport or no?
I don't know. They went back and forth. I mean, you know, Jill loves that stuff. She loves the controversy on court and all that. So I'm not sure if it didn't. And another step to this conversation too is I think it probably makes Jill play better.
Yeah,
doesn't
make everybody play better, but her for
right,
sure.
And also Yana Newell. She had some issues with some of the chirping going on in that Las Vegas Night Owls match, and she was. I feel like it made her play. We call her Dark Yana. She's just the sweetest little thing, and sometimes that switch can flip. And she was, her celebrations were up. She was doing the Paris Todd Anna Bright clinch thing after she'd hit a big forehand winner.
Clinch. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
True.
So, ooh, yeah, exactly right. So, I just wanted your view on that. And I actually think it creates a pretty fun atmosphere and kind of gets the juices flowing, for both teams and even some fans. So, I'm not knocking it. I was just looking for an opinion as, there was even a time or two that I found myself just getting a little, you know, just a little steamed up as someone who wasn't even playing. So it was, it was fun. And I think it's a situation that arises every so often. So,
but this is perfect because, I mean, that's why people enjoy watching MLP style, right? Like players get more amped and fired up in these kind of standalone matches, league matches, because they have a team behind them, they have coaches behind them, they have fans behind them. You don't really get that same environment in a round of 16 or a quarterfinal or even a semifinal sometimes or final in normal tournament format. So I love it. I think the chirping adds to it. And I think it's also what creates rivalries and stories. And, you know, people are going to want to watch that match next time because hopefully all of that tension carries over to the next match.
Yeah, agreed. And also, I mean, just pickleball, man. So great. I mean, you have 6'4" athletic stud lefty guy out there and 5'2" Yana Newell just going at it back and forth. Who doesn't want to watch that and view that, and who doesn't enjoy seeing those types of situations? And when the female can absolutely hold her own with that physical disadvantage, I mean, that's fun for everybody. So,
well, I mean, I think she still hits it harder than probably
pound for pound
most people on court. Yeah,
pound for pound, she is, I'm saying it, I'm sticking with it, most power in all of pickleball, pound for pound. So yeah, fun. Yep. fun weekend for the eights. Only four challenger teams there, so you know, some of the scheduling, you get all the teams, you only get a few teams for little pockets of events, but there was quite a bit of premier play going on and some really fun results, to be honest with you. So let's talk a little bit about that. The Texas Ranchers played extremely well. That's Tina Pisnik, Etta Wright, Christian Alshon, and Kwong Duong, who has more than held his own so far. Really solid results, playing well. I could watch him and his brother Bao Duong and his father Duke Duong drill. I could watch for 4 hours straight. It's so amazing. I mean, they're drilling for like four. They have two matches in the day, and they're like drilling for 4 hours, finding spots to drill in between.
Love it.
You know, Duke super animated, talking with his hands. You know, making sure everything's going right. Bao's the hitting partner. If he misses a couple shots, Duke comes over and pushes him out of the way and starts feeding balls in there to Kwong. You know, it's very funny, very junior tennis vibe, but.
Yeah,
Rob, this is kind of what it's going to start being.
It is.
I mean, I'm talking like we're talking 4, 6, 8 hours of court time, whether it's an event or not. Specific drills, locking in, people putting in an insane amount of work. This is what the sport's going to be, just like every sport that kind of grows and prize money and whatever becomes involved.
You're right. And Adam, you've said it best, and you said it for a long time. It's, you know, when games are involved and people can make money, I'll let you.
They get good.
People get good at things.
I don't care.
There's money involved. Yeah, people get good.
I don't care if it's whatever, juggling the Rubik's cubes while fixing them, playing video games, playing Parcheesi. I mean, it does not matter. If there is money to be made, or that can be your full-time occupation, people are going to get extremely good at it. They're going to lock in, and I think that's what Kwong Duong's doing, and his ascension has been really nice to see. Nice move by the Ranchers. I'm not sure he's totally on Pablo Tellez double level, but he might be at this point, and he definitely has a lot of boxes checked to possibly continue to improve.
Yeah, it's... You're absolutely right. This is going to be the trend continuing, and I'm surprised. It's actually not surprised. It's been fun to watch. Like, what? I don't think anybody's actually worked that hard in pickleball yet. I mean, some that have. I mean, you see people out there dinking all day, that kind of thing, and drilling. But like, to the point where you're getting like the number of reps that you got playing junior tennis and stuff like that when you were training. That level of dedication has not come into the sport yet, I assure you. Even at the top, like the very top, it's nowhere near what it was like for any of us that grew up playing tennis.
And if it's even close, it's a very small percentage.
It's a very small percentage.
Very like 10 or less is what I would say, taking it full on professionally. So yeah, it's going to be fun to watch this trend continue and, you know, see who can burst on the scene. Another quality name that, I mean, just flat out nobody a couple months ago is Blaine Hovenier, who jumped in for the LA Mad Drops, and big, strong guy, really intense, really worked on his game hard over the last few months, filling in for Thomas Wilson, who's having some health issues. Love you, Thomas. Hope everything's okay. Can't wait to hear from you, buddy. But he jumped in there and played very solid. Clinched a dream breaker, I believe. The Mad Drops beat the Columbus Sliders 21-4 in a dream breaker. Now that is hard That's hard to do. And granted, they have a very quality single squad, but 21-4 is wild. But anyway, doubles playing with Hunter Johnson or mixed doubles playing with Catherine Pinto, two very solid partners. But good for him to kind of just have an opportunity to showcase his talent and taking full advantage of it and having some good results.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I saw, I believe it was Chris, sorry, not sorry, that said, maybe it was somebody else, maybe Jake Galvar, but it was in the Twitter streets, they were talking about having, like, it is odd having just fill-ins, alternates on site hop into teams randomly, right? If somebody gets sick, I know Tyson and Fed got sick. So it's, you know, Adam, what are your thoughts on having teams with, call it, six players, eight players? And I think Matty Pickles was like, it would create an interesting environment where, you know, the players want to be starters on a challenger team, or would they rather be that, you know, third guy on a premier team? It does create some interest, like additional interesting storylines.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And maybe there might be at some point where there is no premier and challenger. I have absolutely no information on that. Just saying that could be a possibility too. But I think it makes sense. I mean, because that really was pretty wild. And you have Roscoe Bellamy commentating a match. Fed and Tyson go down. Some sickness. I guess it could have been COVID. I'm not sure. I heard some rumblings of that, but who knows? And then he jumps in a match with Spencer Smith and Millie Rain, who is filling in for Viv David. So three replacement players on the squeeze. Paris Todd, the only traditional member of the team, and they were able to get a W in a dream breaker against the Utah Black Diamonds. That's wild stuff.
In their own home,
and with the fans chanting Utah every time they won a point, let's go Utah or whatever it was. So yeah, I mean, a couple wild results as the Arizona Drive beat the Dallas Flash, which is the best team from a points perspective in Premier, and then they lose to the Black Diamonds the next day. So MLP. That's sports, that's MLP, that's pickleball. But
would the Heart Eights beat the Utah Black Diamonds?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's unreasonable.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's unreasonable either. So, you know, there's no way I was going to say no to that, but I actually believe. I didn't just say it to say it. So, I believe we're definitely one of the top couple teams and challenger, if not the top, you know, after some roster reconstruction. So, I'll stick with that. Absolutely.
So, the Drive, we had, who's on the Drive again? That's Dylan and Andre,
Caitlin Christian, and Lacey Schneeman. So yeah. they went pocket aces with their first two picks with Andre and Dylan. And I was not able to see, you know, I had some responsibility, so I wasn't able to see a lot of it. I would guess Andre had a bit of rust 2 months off. I believe this was his first event back after that 2 month 60-day suspension. So not exactly sure what happened, but just wild to beat the best team and then lose to the lowest team in the standings. And that is why you play the game, Robert.
That's absolutely correct. What else we got that was interesting, Adam, in the premiere?
Well, we had a nasty Nelson. We had Zane tagging Hayden, and then I believe Hayden let out an obscenity and got a warning and point penalty immediately after.
Good for him.
It was a lopsided scoreline. So
Zane was down, right?
Zane was down. I think they were down like 10 points or something like that. But they were down 9 points after he hit Hayden with the serve.
I think it's a little bit more of a boss move to do it when you're up 23-12. That's just disrespectful and more fun.
Right.
But either way, I'll take a Nelson in a MLP game any day.
Yeah, no. And Zane, I mean, he's a showman. He does great out there. He brings lots of energy. He talks smack. Yeah, I mean, he was.
No, he's fun.
I think it was Alshon. He was aggressively talking smack to Alshon and saying all kinds of stuff and throwing out nasties and, you know, like, oh, yeah. And also the full send body bag from Annalee Waters to Jay DeVille. Yeah. And like you can see God. Zane's reaction and Lee Waters' reaction to all that as the ball's like 6 inches off the ground on a drop volley. She just charges in and tags him the shoulder. Poor Jay, man. Poor Jay. Big man, big target. What can you say?
I mean, she hit it pretty hard, too.
She hit it pretty hard. And, you know, I was expecting her to all drop it in the kitchen. She went for option B there and just sent it flat and hard on a complete upward trajectory into Jay's body. Oh, it's so good.
The ball was going to hit the ceiling. Yeah, it was really fantastic.
It was going to go over the video board. I mean, that's fun times. Full grown man, teenage girl, light them up. Just do your thing, Annalee Waters.
The beauty of pickleball.
It really is.
You know, also the trash talking with teenagers. That's some like with grown adults. That's also just
it's fun.
It's different. Yeah, it's different. It's fun. I like it. You know, I'll talk trash to teenagers all day. Let's do it all day.
That's what they want. And then that's what they want. They initiate it. And you gotta be ready for it to come back to you. And they are. And mostly who I'm talking about here is Gabe Tardio and Hayden Patrickwin. So,
is it just lovely. Me or has Big Ace just really rubbed off on Tardio? I love it, though.
Oh, God. Yeah. Like seriously, like Tardio.
Tardio grew 3 inches just by standing beside Hayden, you know? Like, he's like, his chest is out now. He's got swag.
Yeah. So just throw him in with Hayden and Anna Bright, and he's a completely different person from a crazy energy, a smack talk perspective.
Versus like playing with J-Dub in Georgia, where he's he's right. A little more dialed back.
Yeah, polar opposites there. Some still pretty big issues for the Carolina Pickleball Club with team chemistry. So they swapped out Andrea Coop for Brooke Buckner.
That didn't solve it?
Yeah, it didn't solve it. The John Zai, Jesse Irvin, the other three members of that squad, I know that the Johns are not big indoor fans. Little vibe issues in the previous event at the Beer City Open in terms of team chemistry and camaraderie, and I didn't see a big difference. I'm not gonna use the word tank, but it was pretty dang close to that from what I saw.
The handful of points you just did use the word tank.
Yeah, I did. I kind of meant to do that on purpose a little bit.
I like that, Adam. Well done.
Yeah, that, you know, good cop's got to be bad cop every so often.
Do you think Brooke's just on the phone with everybody, just like, get me out of here, like trade me?
No, I think she's just happy to take that flight back to Charlotte and be with the family for a few days before she has to do it all over again in Kansas City. I don't even know if they're playing Kansas City, but so we saw a couple of those trades. It was Connor Garnett for Jay DeVille also, and then kind of like the even swap, you know, just to not necessarily gain an edge somewhere, just kind of mix it up with the squad and see if they can have better results. And I'm not sure either one did, even though it made sense to try those trades.
On the tank word, what are your thoughts on in respect to like the feedback I've gotten on MLP still is that nobody really knows what any match means, like what's mm-hmm. at stake, what's on the line here, what are the, you know, like I Real Clear Stats puts out a graph that shows how many points per match, right? Because everybody's played different numbers of matches, so the number of points is not indicative of who's in first, really. So what I'd like to see is like, okay, well, how many matches on the season remain? Like, you know, baseball, like what's that magic number that you have to get to make playoffs, that kind of thing. What's the playoff format, which I don't even know. What is at stake in the grand scheme of things? And do you think that, so like, I'm going to go back on like what I said a little bit about Beer City, with nothing being on the line in Beer City in terms of standings. I don't know which is more important, actually, because it feels like players playing for additional money is going to be more motivating to them than just playing for standings. Because it doesn't, like, what's at stake, right? Like, even if you make the play, if your team makes the playoffs, and but what's at stake? Like, do you get a bonus? Do you get, like that story is not really told. So, and sports are fun to watch when you know what's at stake and you see, like, you know, you're able to see emotion and reactions based on what's at stake. So any thoughts around what that looks like and how to make there be more, like, more tension and more, like, what's all this mean?
No, that's fair. And I think just having the variety, I'm not even going to knock the format or what's going on. It's just been the lack of consistency. There's been so many changes to format and this and that. There were going to be teams were going to be clumped together. Now there's two divisions, this and that, all that stuff. So I've heard similar complaints about finding ways to watch, finding format, finding rosters, and knowing who is there and on what teams and how long they're going to be on those teams. Is there another draft, as we've had several drafts for MLP? So I think you just have to give it some time with the same rules for everyone to kind of slowly follow along. And of course that just takes time. But from a what's on the line perspective, I do think that needs to be talked about more in terms of how do you get into the playoffs? How many teams? What are the situations? And that will at least give you some inkling or some inclination of what is being played for. And I know that the tournament had prize money and all the prize money with the contracts and all that stuff is different. It's different. So I think that overall, having prize money, having some form of baseline contract, but having something on the line too, is definitely the play. As when you get those numbers thrown around and you know that as a fan and as someone viewing and watching, that has to make it more interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I just thinking about, like, even with the international $15 million purse and like everybody, you know, there's the tour wars, right? You have all of these pro organizations that are vying for the professional landscape. And we still don't know if, you know, like you mentioned, Adam, like with how to find it, where to watch it. Are we even going to be able to, like, get enough viewers to where this makes sense for media deals, that kind of thing? Like, everybody's vying for this thing that we don't even know exists in terms of, will it be a really viable big time sport that gets a solid media deal? Maybe it will. Hopefully it will, because that's good for, you know, us pros and commentary and being able to talk about the sport on the, you know, at the pro landscape. But I do wonder, Adam, and this is, like, I don't have enough projects going on, so let's just create one more. How fun, like, the complaint is that it's, you know, especially for the layperson, that it's not very fun to watch pickleball, the dinking, you know. So we've talked about, like, shot clock, stuff like that, like, just to make it a little more exciting. Savannah Bananas for pickleball. Who wants to do it with me? I mean, they're selling out MLB stadiums. You know, they started off as an operation in Savannah at their local ballpark there. Sold out every game. There's wait lists for, like, next year. Now they're selling out major stadiums. It's kind of the same. There's some parallels, right? It's like baseball, unless you're a traditionalist and you've always followed it and you like the deep data in it and all of that Moneyball type stuff. You know, MLB has also made a lot of adjustments to shorten the games to make it more fan friendly, viewer friendly. And obviously the Savannah Bananas went even harder and made up their own banana ball, which is their own rules, you know, choreographed dancing, just it's entertainment first. And I do think that there is a place in pickleball for a league and a tour like that. And I would love to be involved. So whoever wants to throw some money down, hit me up. Let's get rolling.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you're right. I mean, baseball, I guarantee the 25,000 people at that stadium, there's like 1,000 who are like real baseball fans.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. we're going to have a meeting place to hang out with our friends, to watch every fourth pitch.
Exactly.
And eat some food and have some drinks. And you know, I think that that's just kind of what it is from a social aspect. So the Savannah Bananas is great. I mean, this is like, I mean, like, the group down in Savannah, which I have been to one of the games, like yeah. we have very well connected friends there from the Savannah Golf Club, and it is tough to get a ticket. Like, these are like Savannah yeah. people. They like own the city, they own the town, they can get what they need to get, and those things are sold out constantly. Yeah. And this was even years ago before it totally blew up. So
Adam, I was clearly doing
something right.
We were there together, and do you remember what you ate?
Trash can nachos.
Yes, you did.
I do. So this is literally the top of a metal Oscar the Grouch trash can with circle round chips, liquid cheese, jalapenos, and someone with two plastic gloves crumbling up hot dog wieners and hamburger patties and sprinkling it all over the nachos. And we ate all of them. We ate every single dang one of those nachos. It was lovely. It took me, you know, 72 hours to recover from the game. Body. But we got through it, Rob. But people love it. The kids were just enthralled with everything that was happening. Everybody had gear on. Everybody had a glove there. Everybody was just in a great mood, and it was like. It's like whatever night it is, Friday night or something, like that is the hottest ticket in town. Easily. And that's where people want to be, to have camaraderie with their friends, to get together. I am absolutely all for that. And why not mix the two together, you know, athletics and entertainment, and just go with it.
And yeah, like the Bananas, it's former college players, or even sometimes, you know, existing college players that are off for the summer. Like, there's enough high quality pickleball players, call it the 5'5 plus, the 5'0 plus, that you could really identify ones that would be great entertainers, that sure. could do, you know, that have big personalities, that aren't afraid to, you know, be out there doing choreographed silly dances and just putting it on for the fans. And I think that would be such a fun, outside of like viewing online, I think it would just be such a fun experience to put on in person. And I think fans would love it. And it would pull people out to watch.
Rob, you can catch a foul ball as a fan, and it counts for the game.
That's absolutely sick. Yeah.
That's amazing. Get them as involved as possible, meaning the fan base, to what's going on the field or the court. I am 100% on board. I have no capital. I have no money. I have no anything to get this started, but I'm on board, Rob.
Okay. Same. So we got two guys on board.
On board with no assets whatsoever to throw at it. But hey, you know, maybe one of our viewers might help us out.
But we're on board.
Hey, Prawn, talk to Prawn with the IPA. Maybe Prawn's on board. Let's go. Robert, I don't have much more here. You got anything you would like to add? We covered a variety of topics like we always do.
I'm still just thinking, like, they call it banana ball. I mean, we have another food, pickleball. It's too good to not pursue this. I'll be honest. I sent an email to Jesse Cole, who is the owner of Savannah Bananas. This is like 2 weeks ago. Just kind of lightly pitching the idea. Like, he's not busy, you know, like hosting, like having games in Fenway and stuff. But I was just like, Jesse, what if we did pickleball under banana ball? Do you see how cool this would be? And shocking, I didn't get a response from him. But he forwarded it to his assistant, and his assistant was very kind. Was like, Rob, we're a little busy right now, but thank you for your lovely idea. Take care.
I'm shocked he even forwarded it to the assistant. So good. He must be a good guy if he even threw you a bone in that regard. But not shocking to not get a response there. But hey.
But he is the one that got us the tickets when we were in Savannah.
Oh, really?
Because I knew him from a business conference from a while ago when they were just kind of getting...
started. People do you know from that business conference? Like, I mean, you got boots on the ground in every corner of the world because of this yes. business conference. I don't know what it is, but I mean, you're in
Mastermind you're in Talks, guys. Mastermind Ireland. Talks.
Mastermind Talks. That's what it is. Okay,
look it up. Look it up. It's a awesome group. It's where I met Adam Franklin from Franklin Stores.
There you go. And you were part of the Franklin family for a while, and now
yep.
Upgraded old to old Selkirk Sport. So here we are, man. What a journey for you. And maybe that journey is going to take us to banana ball pickleball, and we'll just have to see.
I'm ready to banana the pickle.